Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Looks like we got a little sunshine going on. First time in a while. We're blessed. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. I did forget to put in the bulletin, but we are still having it nevertheless. The congregational meeting on February the 12th. Lord willing, I will remember to put it in there next week, but please mark on your calendar February 12th. We will have a congregational meeting immediately after morning worship. Two items on the agenda are to receive the budget report from the elders and then to vote on disbursements from the Mary Wharton Fund. So I know you'll all want to be here for that. Now, coming up a little bit closer in time, this Thursday we have the annual meeting of the Port Gibson Heritage Trust, and that will take place on Thursday at 6 at the City Hall. I'm looking at Mr. Davis to make sure that I got that right. Thursday at 6, yes. So please come. This is an opportunity to join the Trust if you haven't joined yet. Also to learn about what the Trust is doing in our town. And please be in prayer for the Presbytery meeting this coming Friday and Saturday. We will be having, we'll have a 5 teaching elders, two of whom will be newly ordained, three of whom will be transferring into the presbytery. We've got 3 ruling elders who will be commissioned to serve various congregations of our presbytery. Just a lot going on, a lot to be thankful for. We'll hear some reports of how our church plants and our missionaries are doing. So please be in prayer for the meeting, for those who will be traveling, and that God will be glorified in all that we do. And now let's be called to worship. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's worship God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. O Lord, all week long we have listened to all sorts of voices telling us all sorts of conflicting things, and it's gotten to the point where we don't know whom to believe anymore. And so we come to you, the one we can always believe because you are the one who always tells the truth. Help us to believe your word. Help us to govern our lives accordingly. Help us truly to worship you, to consider you worthy of all our praise. For we come claiming the promises of Christ to welcome and to forgive all who trust in him, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you'll take up your hymnal, our responsive reading today is found in the back of the hymnal, selection 651. The theme of this reading is the Scripture. This is what the Scripture says about the Scripture. And it comes from lots of different places in both the Old and the New Testament. I will read the light-faced print and encourage the congregation to respond with the bold. Let us read these portions of God's Word responsively. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Great peace have those who love thy law. Nothing can make them stumble. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to selection 221. This hymn is a setting of Psalm 19, another part of God's Word that talks about God's Word. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 221, and let us stand to sing. We have sung God's praise. Now let us say what we believe about Him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Glory be to the Father.
You may be seated, and I'll ask Larry Wagner if he'll come up for a moment. Larry is the vice president of Gideon's Camp in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and he has come to bring us up to date on what the Gideons, the ministry of the Gideons, and what they're doing these days. So, Larry, welcome you.
Before you step down, Pastor, I would like to present you a Gideon card in appreciation of what you've done for us as Gideons and an example of the use of the Gideon card program that we just updated in the back of the church for you.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Thank you. How many of you know about Gideons? How many of you in the fifth grade got a Gideon Bible? You still have it, I bet. I have mine. And to me, it's like home week here. I came to the Vicksburg area in 1979 as a lead startup engineer for building Grand Golf. In 1982, I left, but during that time, I met Doug Nason. We were in the Lions Club together at that time, and he was Gideon Lion, a guiding lion, I apologize, for when we started the Evening Lions Club in Vicksburg. As Gideons, we are an association of professional and business persons with only one goal in mind, and that's to win the lost to Christ. We started 117 years ago, and we've been doing the same thing ever since. And to date, around the world, we've distributed more than 2.1 billion scriptures in over 206 countries and in 101 different languages. Since someone was here to speak with you last, I'll give you just an update. What we have done, we have invented to offset what I call the tool of the devil, and that's my smartphone. No longer does my smartphone just ring and get my attention. It's got to talk to me, give me the weather. But we have what's called the Gideon Bible application. This allows you, no matter where you are, to download an app. You go to your iPad store or to your Android store, and just ask it to find the Gideon Bible app. This Bible app is a King. You can download one of two versions there. I like the King James Version the most because that's what I'm doing when I look at it, I'm studying. But more importantly, this one little application has been translated into 1,150 different languages and dialects. So if you get somebody that can't read, you can at least start it up for them, and it'll read it to you, or you can just read it yourself. That's new. We've invented, and I say invented, we developed for the youth of the United States predominantly what we call the Life Book. The Life Book is divided into four sections. It tells in the first 21 pages or so the entire overview of the Old Testament. It takes 69 pages to go verse by verse in the Gospel of John. Why did we do this? Because in the United States, it's very difficult to pass out Bibles anymore in the school system or to get the Word of God into the public school systems. We're so afraid that somebody's going to be offended that we have to defend in whatever way we can. This Life Book is distributed by senior high groups to their peers, which cannot be taken away from them. And so far, we've distributed well over 10 million. I actually think the actual count's about 20 million of these in the last 5 years, by 1.5 million high school kids passing them out to their friends at their lunch, at their breaks, and other things. It gives them the way and teaches them how to witness to their fellow students. I mentioned that since Gideon's International started, and I have to keep remembering here, I'm not a person that likes to stand in one spot, but I understand you've got to be careful because you're recording today. I don't need a microphone. I was born with a megaphone, my mama said. But so if I'm a little off my key, it's because I usually move around pretty well. The bottom line, turns out, is that in the 117 years, more than 2.1 billion scriptures. There's only 7 billion people in the entire world. But the problem is, people are being born quicker than we give away scriptures. It turns out that 2.1 billion scriptures, last year alone, we gave out more than 97 million scriptures around the world. That's complete Bibles and New Testaments. We're, as I said, we're in 206 countries around the world, and we publish the Bible in more than 101 languages or dialects. That's significant because that's three scriptures a second, 24/7, 365 days a year. Somebody, a Gideon, we don't stack them up, we don't leave them, we just don't broadcast them. Some Gideon is providing, handing out a scripture, telling them that God loves them, or some little soft word of testimony, and that's being done at the rate of three scriptures every second, 24/7, around the world. Locally, now that's great for the what the international is doing, but you're probably more interested in what we're doing here locally. Well, we've started a drive to reestablish Gideon's International Camp back in the Claiborne, Port Gibson area. You used to have quite a few people in the Gideons. Look around. You used to probably have a lot more in your church than that. We are a organization that has been diluted because of lots of reasons. But one of the things that we need to do is to reach out and try to touch men who feel called into the Gideon ministry. Gideons feel that we're a called ministry because of what it takes for people in business and professional world to stand up and share our faith with the other people. In Warren County last year, we were in 10 of the 12 public schools. We gave away scriptures to the students. We're still allowed in Warren County to go into the classrooms and to give the children the scriptures. We can't proselytize or do any preaching to them or take them down the plan of salvation, but we can give them. That represents 10% of the total education of the public schools in Warren County. When I ask those kids, how many of you have your own Bible? Less than, you can count on that one hand, said they had their own Bible. I ask, how many of them do you have a Bible in your home? A few more said they had a Bible in their own in homes. And when I ask them, would you like to have a gift, a free gift of your own Bible, all of them wanted one. Okay, so we did that. All but one little boy. His name was Jose. And with that, he might recognize the fact that he's a little Spanish boy. And I said, okay. He says, understand, I want Bible, but I don't read English yet. That day, I happened to have a Spanish-speaking New Testament in my pocket. And I gave him his New Testament, and he was so elated, and all of his friends around him got to see the scriptures in Spanish. Folks, we just came from a three-day blitz on the Gulf Coast. Went down in the Hattiesburg area, and I hope all those people down there did well in Hattiesburg. And we were at Cary College down there, the seminary, the Methodist school. Do you know that 80% of the people on the Gulf Coast are non-churched? That we couldn't even get on the military base now because of the policies to give away New Testaments and Scriptures. Until we left the base, or as we was leaving the base, we saw a chapel, beautiful chapel down there. Now, recognize the fact that in a Gulf Coast area, you have the Air Force very strong at Keesler, and the Navy CB bases down there. A Navy Lieutenant Commander Chaplain came back, and we introduced who we were. We told him, he says, can I get some of those Bibles? Well, we had already been through the chain of command down there, and they wouldn't let us. They said, you can't do that. He said, as long as I'm chaplain down here, I want your Bibles in here. Now, we can, and the one time we can give to that chaplain scriptures, and he will pass them out. We have special rules for the military. All of my children, we've been in the military, my brothers and all that, all of them had their military Bibles. We've been able down there, we give out first responders. We give them out to the nurses. We went into doctor's offices that people said, you can't distribute in these medical centers. But we had occasion to run into individual doctor's offices, and they said, you bet your bippy, come on in here and give them out. There are people trying to establish roadblocks here in America that we don't have anywhere else in the world. When we go into Honduras or we go into Colombia, they actually call a military celebration and parade, and they line these people up, and we speak to them, and they all get their Bible in their own language. Now that's great, because that's what we set out to do. In Russia, the people, I heard this morning someone from within the Sunday school class said that in Russia they passed out all the Bibles that they had, and one person came up and said, well, if I can't have a Bible, can I just have the box that the Bible came in? Folks, that's how hungry this world is for the Word of God. In the Sunday school class, somebody said that God's Word will never return void, Isaiah 55:11. He has a purpose. Isaiah 46:9-12 said, I had a plan from the beginning before I ever made anything, and that plan will happen. Gideon takes that challenge to get those scriptures out to people. 97 million copies of scriptures at an average cost of $1.25 takes a lot of money. And what am I doing here? I want to tell you that we can't do that because we don't make bake sales, we don't have rummage sales, we don't have telethons or anything else. We reach within ourselves to the churches who have always come forward and made contributions as a part of your extension of your mission program. Churches and the contributions we get from folks like you produce more than 33% of our total cost of printing and shipping Bibles to the point of distribution. Actual distribution is borne by Gideons like me. We bear our own travel costs and our own housing costs and everything, and it's all done. When you make a contribution through your church or personally, every cent of that goes to the printing and to the shipment of the Bibles in location. I could stand up here and talk all day, tell you testimonies of people that have come up in tears. I want to share with you one. I had a young lady came and told me, she said, it's ridiculous. This was down at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. Why do you do this? Because we know the Bible is out of touch. It's irrelevant. I said, young lady, what makes you think so? Well, the New Testament talks all about this stuff. I said, do you realize every bit of the New Testament, save one more action by Jesus, was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ? He gave his life for you because he loved you and wanted you to spend time in heaven with him. The only message that we have as Christians and as Gideons is, where are you going to spend eternity? Folks, eternity is real. You're either going to spend it away from God or you're going to spend it with God. And that's all I can tell them. Take this scripture. Had a Buddhist boy down there come up and he says, I don't need your Bible. I'm a Buddhist. I said, isn't it worthwhile knowing who your enemy is? And I gave him a Bible and he took it. You know, I saw him walking down the halls to his next class reading that New Testament. I want to give you one short one and then I'll go on. A young man in Kenya was passing out scriptures on the street corner. And a guy came up and said, I don't want your Bible. He said, it's junk to me. And if you gave it to me, if I took it, he said, I'd probably roll it up and make cigarettes out of it. And the guy said, okay, if that's what you want to do with it, but do me one favor, please. As you roll a page up before you smoke it, read that page completely before you give it up. Five years later, this young man made a testimony that he said, I didn't have any trouble smoking Matthew, Mark, Luke, but when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke that, folks, and I gave my life to Christ. Now, that's just the way it is. Do you know that we can't give out the small New Testaments that you got in the prisons? Because that's what they do with them. They tear them pages up and smoke them. But we give them the same challenge if we think about it. All too often, we're hit with things that we're not superhuman. I used to go up and say, see my blue shirt? You see a big yellow S on it? Well, there isn't one. I'm just a fella that helped build Grand Gulf down here and spent 50 years going around upgrading nuclear power plants. God has been good to me. He's been so good to me, and you can't outgive him in time or money. What I'd like to do is challenge your church to do three things for us today. Number one, I want you to pray for the Gideon ministry. Doors are closing here in this country, which I hope, because of recent events, will change. We know that our governor here in the state of Mississippi supports our effort. But, you know, we have to make some changes. We need you to pray. Pray for the Gideon ministry. We will give every bit of our soul to spreading these words of out to the people, because we trust the Lord. We don't have to say nothing. We just get it in our hand. It takes care of the rest. We believe that. We believe the Bible is an inerrant, powerful word of God. It is not a copy. Every scripture we put out is the word of God. That's what we believe. I'd like you also to consider that you might take Gideon's International as a personal or maybe as a part of your mission program here to support mission of Gideon's International. $125 will put 100 scriptures in the field. We will get it out there and we'll do that for you. You may not be able to go, but we got somebody who is called that will go. My son has gone to many international blitzes, similar to what I did down there. He's been all over. But we don't go down there to do their job. We go down there to help the Gideons in all these 206 countries actually do the spreading out. It's easy for me to go in my Chrysler 300 to drive from here to Gulfport, right? They come on bicycles, burros, and wheelbarrows to get down there to spread those words out there. Now, that's a fact. We can show you time and time again where it is. We want you to consider doing that. Your pastor has agreed that later, not your normal offerings, one guy said, give me your Walmart money. Don't take your church money. Don't take the stuff that you do. But we'd like for you to consider. If you don't, the third thing we'd like for you to do, and I'm going to ask the pastor, consider whether or not Gideon's is a calling in your life. You're Christians. What more can you do? The Great Commission says, go ye into all the world teaching and preaching and baptizing. Well, we do that. We'd like for you to do that, if you consider that. But it's a calling, gentlemen. It's not a club you join and then don't do nothing. We would like for people. So all of you people that's younger than me, and that's most, consider that. Just give it. Make it a point of prayer that you would become a Gideon. We need you. We need to get these. Every two hands, that's what God needed us for to begin with. We need the hands and feet to get these scriptures out. But more importantly, we want you to pray for our ministry. Pastor, I appreciate it for letting us come here. I hope that you understand that we need you in prayer. We need your finances and whatever you can. I want to bring up the last thing I did mention. Sorry out there. We've restocked your Gideon card ministry. Back on the back on the table is Gideon cards. They're free, folks. They're absolutely free. And the envelope. All you have to do is, there's an envelope. You can contribute Bibles in the memory or in appreciation or special occasions. You know, it costs at least $50 to put out a funeral bouquet of even a smallest case. I love flowers myself. But you know, the flowers wither and die. We read that this morning. But the Word of God goes on forever. You can donate 5 Bibles for $25. You can donate whatever amount you want. But you can just say on the card, you say, we're donating Bibles to you in your honor, memory, whatever. fill out the card, the form, put it. There will be a stamped envelope, an envelope, a self-addressed envelope with the card. You just put it in there and send it. Take these. There's all sorts of them there. And they are up to date. We just restocked it this morning. That alone is another 30%, believe it or not. Provides 30% of the total cost of all the Bibles we send out. And then the Gideons themselves, we ourselves, provide the remaining 33% or more. Gideons is not an indebted organization. We are paid up, and we won't take it out unless they're paid for. We have millions of scriptures being requested every day, and we need to get those out. Appreciate it, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. Appreciate you folks listening, and I'll be at the back of the church, I suppose. Where do you want to take it up?
Whatever is convenient for you.
All right. Well, I'll be back there with me and when we're finished. And if you feel so, I do want to bring out one more thing, and I failed, and I'm playing pastor today because I remember that one thing. There's a brochure in your bulletin. Look through it. It explains many things about the Gideons that I didn't do, because you can read it and can get it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And we appreciate the ministry of the Gideons. I do want to just say on a personal note, my father was a member of the Gideons for many years and got a lot of satisfaction from the fellowship there, but also from the ministry. So certainly appreciate your work. Let's celebrate the work of the Gideons and all of our work as Christians as we take up our hymnals. We don't just come to church to hear the story, we leave to tell the story. We'll sing the first, third, and fourth stanzas of hymn 302, first, third, and fourth stanzas of hymn number 302. Let us stand to sing.
Oh.
Amen. You may be seated. There are only a few things that you can do on earth that you can't do in heaven. And I was told that that's one of the reasons why God left us here, to do those things which we can't do in heaven. One of the things, of course, is sin, and God didn't leave us here to do that. One of the things we can do here that we can't do in heaven is tell the story to other people, evangelize. And so that's our call. With that in mind, let's go before the Lord, before His throne of grace, asking Him to accomplish His will. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You that You are a God who speaks. You have spoken to us in the words of the Scripture. You have spoken to us most clearly in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, O Lord, that You have called us not only to hear Your word, but to share Your word. Lord, we thank You for the ministry of our church planters who are doing that now. And we pray for our brother Christian, our brother Brett, our brother Ben, as they are leading new church plants in our presbytery. We pray that many would come to know the Lord Jesus through their ministries. We pray for our missionaries in the Middle East as they work with refugees from Iraq and Syria, as those people are coming out of a place where they cannot hear the gospel into a place where they can. And Lord, we pray that You would prosper their ministry, that You would open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, that You would bring many souls unto Christ through their work. And we thank You, O Lord, for allowing us to participate in that ministry through our gifts. Thank You for the ministry of the Gideons, spreading the word of God here in our country and all over the world. Lord, we pray for this ministry, that You would cause the word of God to go forth in a mighty way. You have promised that Your word would not return to You void, but that it would accomplish the purpose for which You sent it. And we pray, O Lord, that as these scriptures are distributed, that people would read and learn and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. Help us, Lord, to know how we can participate in that ministry too. But we also pray that You would send us forth into our circles of friends, in our circles of relationships, to spread the word as well. Help us, Father, know what words to say and what words not to say. Give us eyes to see opportunities, people who need a word of comfort or a word of challenge or a word of hope, whatever it is. Help us, Lord, also to spread the gospel with our lives as we demonstrate the truth and the love of Jesus Christ by the way that we live. Lord, we pray that everyone who sees us would see Christ, and thus Your word would go forth. So, Lord, we pray for these ministries. We pray for ourselves. We pray that Your word would indeed be proclaimed with our lips and with our lives. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let us worship the Lord as we give unto Him His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you have given to us and for the opportunity to give. We pray that you would use these gifts, indeed, that you would use us, however you will, to expand your kingdom and to spread your gospel. We offer this prayer in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as our theme today is the Scripture, we turn to Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Scripture is about the Scriptures. We won't read the whole thing, but we will look at verses 145 to 152, just one small portion of that psalm, and meditate upon it briefly today. This is God's Word, about God's Word. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented, anticipated the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent, anticipate the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." That's God's Word. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the means of grace, the normal ways through which God blesses his people. We've shared in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We've witnessed the sacrament of baptism. We've celebrated the gift of the church, and we've been reminded of the miracle that we can talk to God in prayer. And so we come to the Holy Scriptures, the clearest way in which God talks to us. As we read in our responsive reading this morning, the Scriptures were written by those who were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit. We read that the Scriptures are inspired, breathed out by God. So what does the Scripture tell us about God? What do the Scriptures have to say to us about the way we should use this message from God? Our outline is the title of the sermon. We'll start by looking at some beliefs, some things the Scripture tells us about God. We'll look at some duties, some ways that we respond to these truths about God. And we'll conclude with some blessings that we gain from reading and obeying the Scriptures. Well, first, what do we learn about God? What beliefs do we learn? We learn of God's first of all, we learn of God's steadfast love. The term loving kindness used in verse 149 means that God loves his people in a faithful way. God enters into his relationship with his people because he desires to, and that God's love for us is a love that we can count on, a love that is not conditional upon our faithfulness or our obedience. God's love never changes. At the same time, and even in the same verse, we learn about God's judgment, God's justice. It is because God is just that he never goes back on a promise. He never changes his mind. But that also means he can't just let someone get away with sin. Unlike human rulers, he can't just let rebellion against him slide. Sin deserves God's anger and punishment, and because of his justice, that's how God has to deal with sin. So if God's faithfulness in love is very good news for us, we might not be so enthusiastic about God's faithfulness in justice. And the third thing we believe about God also has this two-edged quality to it. Verse 151 tells us that God is near to us. Now, God's nearness will either be good news or bad news, depending on our relationship with God, won't it? If we're on good terms with God, his nearness to us will, of course, bring us great comfort and peace. But if we're in a state of rebellion against God, the last thing we want is for God to be close at hand. We would much rather be far away from him in hopes that he might not notice our disobedience. So, how do we know if we are in a right relationship with this God whom we have learned is loving and who is just and who is always near? How do we know what we believe about God is either good news or bad news? Well, verse 151 tells us that all God's commandments are true. And verse 152 reminds us that God's testimonies have been founded forever. In other words, the fourth thing we learn about God is that if God is loving and God is just and God is near, we also learn that God is truth. God cannot lie. God's word always perfectly reflects God's will. So we don't need to guess about what God wants for our lives. We don't need to guess about how God wants us to live. Through the apostles, through the prophets, God has written down everything that we need to know in a way that we can understand it. And now we know that the word has been translated into every language so that people can read it. And that leads us then to the next main point. If these few verses teach us four things that we need to believe about God, it also teaches us two duties that God requires based on those beliefs. In verses 145 and 146, we find that we should keep God's statutes and God's testimonies. We should observe God's testimonies. And those are two ways of saying basically the same thing. You see, God hasn't just written His Word so that we can satisfy our curiosity about Him. God has given us His Word in order that we might express our trust through obedience to Him. It's not enough to know God's Word. It's not even enough to believe that God's Word is true. No, if we're really trusting God, we'll do what He says. Even if it doesn't make sense to us at the time, even if our own desires, our own reason, our own experience pull us in a different direction, if we trust God, we'll do what God says. So the first duty that we have is to obey God's Word. But how do we do this? How can we live the way God wants us to live? Well, verse 148 gives us a second duty. We need to meditate on God's Word. Now, meditate basically is worrying about something good. Meditate means thinking about something, rehearsing God's promises in our minds, even in the dead of night, even in the early morning, especially when we're tempted to worry about our problems. God's Word needs to be as real and as present to us as God Himself is. And if we'll hold God's Word in our minds and our hearts, if we'll trust God enough to obey Him, then we can count on these great blessings that flow out of that. And that's the third main thing that we learn from today's passage. Verse 147 tells us that the Scripture is a wonderful source of hope, even in times when we are in great need. Focusing our hearts and our minds on God's Word, and especially on God's steadfast love and God's justice and God's promises that He will never break. This is a powerful way of dispelling the doubt and the despair that is all too common in our world. So God's blessing comes to us through hope. But how can God's Word be such a source of hope to us? I mean, we've already learned that God is just, that God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. And when we read God's Word, and that may be one reason why folk don't read God's Word as much as they perhaps should, when we read God's Word, the fact that we are sinners, the fact that we have all fallen short of God's glory and God's expectations, well, it becomes crystal clear. The Scripture is a mirror that shows us who we really are. So given what we know about God's justice, how can God's Word bring hope to sinners like us? Well, look at verse 149. God can quicken us. That means God can give us life, the blessing of life instead of death. God can satisfy His justice at the same time that He pours out His steadfast love upon us. God can be true to what He has said because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the living Word. It is because God loved us so much that He gave Jesus to die for us, and in Jesus' death, God's justice is fully satisfied on behalf of all who trust in Him. In short, the blessing of hope we gain from God's Word, the blessing of life we gain from God's loving justice, comes from the blessing of salvation. The blessing of salvation for all those who trust in Jesus as Savior. And we see the psalmist crying out for this salvation in verse 146. But there we also see the reason God pours all these blessings upon us. Did you catch that? God gives us hope. God gives us life. God gives us salvation so that we might observe His testimonies. You see, God doesn't save us because we have done His will. We don't earn our salvation by our good works. But God does save all those who trust in Christ so that we might do good things, so that our lives might respond to God's love and grace with obedience, so that we might be transformed evermore into the likeness of Christ, living according to God's law of love. So that's the challenge for us in this new year. Will we take the time to read the Scriptures and learn what they tell us about God? Will we believe the good news of God's love and God's justice and God's grace and God's truth? And in response to this truth, will we trust God enough to do what He says? Will we give our lives to Him? And as we read and as we learn and as we live and as we trust and as we obey, can we doubt we will receive those blessings of hope and life and salvation that come to all who trust in Christ? Let's take up our hymnals and challenge one another to trust and to obey God's word. As we turn to selection 318, we'll sing the first, fourth, and fifth stanzas, first, fourth, and fifth stanzas of hymn 318, Let Us Stand to Sing. Will we trust the Lord enough to read His Word? Will we trust the Lord enough to obey His Word? Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.